Sukhi Hantu. Today, I would like to give you instructions how to practice loving kindness meditation, metta, bhavana. And I know most of you might have practiced this before. Yes? Most of you. Huh? But the way I teach may be different from what you have practiced. I designed this one purposely for Americans. Do you want to close the door so that you can hear better? In traditional way of loving kindness meditation, we used to say, we start with myself first. May I be well and happy. May I be free from mental suffering. May I be free from physical suffering. May I look after myself happily. This is traditional way of practicing loving kindness meditation. However, through my experience, many years experience teaching Americans, most Americans find that it's very difficult to have metta to oneself due to self-hatred. So when they try to send loving kindness to himself or herself, they feel very difficult. Therefore, I have to design one way to overcome this problem. That is, we break down the self, no self. Remove the perception of self. How? What is this self? Self is only conventional truth. What actually exists is mind and body. Right? So what is body? Body consists of only four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. This is ultimate truth. Four elements are ultimate truth. Body is only conventional truth. If you do not penetrate, if your meditation only reach conventional truth, the liberation of the mind is not possible. Therefore, you must go one step deeper to reach ultimate truth. So your body is only conventional truth. What actually exists is four elements. So remember this four, earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. And another one is mind element. Buddha taught six elements. Now four elements plus mind element and the last one, space element. Today we are not going to talk about space element. We will talk about this five element. So when you send loving, when you break down the self, only four element and mind element. So instead of may I be well and happy, which cannot work for you, so you say may the four elements in this body be healthy. May the four elements in this body be healthy. Then you can scan. Because somebody feel that may the four elements in this body be healthy, like reciting again and again, monotonous, very boring. So instead, in order to overcome this boredom, you scan the body. When you scan the body, let's say first the top of the head, then you say, may the four elements here be healthy. And scan down forehead. May the four elements here be healthy. Again, face. May the four elements here be healthy. The neck, shoulder. Scan down part by part. May the four elements in each part of the body be healthy. Be healthy and well. Up to the soul. Then again, you can either scan from down up or from up down. Up to you. This direction is not important. Important is a wish. Now the metta wish. And after half an hour, then you can go to a mind element. When you go to your mind element, you put your attention in the heart area here. Because mind is located here. So keep your heart, keep your attention here. Then gently tell yourself, may this mind element be peaceful, be happy. May this mind element be contented, be content, happy, blissful, peaceful. Whatever words that suits you most, you can use that word. Because sometimes you say, may the mind be happy, then it doesn't work for you. Then you choose what you need most for yourself. Okay? Isn't it? So this is to oneself, you break down the self, send a loving kindness to your body for half an hour, then later on to your mind element for half an hour. This way of practice is very helpful first to overcome the self-hatred, because there's no self. Only mind and body, only four element and mind element. Secondly, the teaching of the Buddha, the peculiar teaching of the Buddha is non-self. So while developing loving kindness meditation, at the same time, you aim to remove the perception of self, which is the goal of the Buddha's teaching. Therefore, I feel this method is very powerful and useful. Also help your insight meditation. Okay? Understand? Okay. So keep on scanning. And when you scan the body, it's also very, very useful for your health. Because according to Chinese martial art, Qi Gong, according to Chinese Qi Gong, say that when your mind, where you send the mind, then the Qi follow the mind. For example, when your attention go to the head, and the Qi come to the head. When your attention go to the shoulder, the Qi follow to the shoulder. And this Qi is not the polluted Qi. It's pure Qi. Why it is pure Qi? Because your mind is pure. When the mind is pure, the Qi is pure. When you get very angry, and the Qi is polluted. Therefore, when you send loving kindness to yourself, then you activate the Qi. Then when you scan the body, at the same time, you heal your body. Your body really become healthy. You can see for yourself later on. You can see, after some time, you feel that the Qi is, whole body is energized by this Qi. So it's good for your body, good to remove self-hatred, and good to develop insight of non-self. Okay. So this is what I want you to practice for yourself. But for oneself, it's not enough. We must have love metta to other people as well. Especially to all the meditators in this retreat. Because some people's action may offend you. You may not like them. If you don't like anybody in this retreat, it's a hindrance for you. because your mind is agitated, irritated. Therefore, to overcome this hindrance, you also must practice loving kindness to your fellow meditators in this retreat, including all the organizers, or those who work in the kitchen to help us. So have love, metta to them. May they be well and happy again and again. So after oneself, 1 hour, then the rest of time you can do to all meditators here and to those who stay here and to all beings in this compound. So for the first day, practice loving kindness meditation. There's another purpose why I want you to practice loving kindness meditation, because loving kindness meditation gives you abundant joy and happiness. And joy and happiness are the proximate cause, are the near cause for concentration to arise. This you have to bear in mind. If you practice with sad mind, sorrow mind, unhappy mind, no concentration will develop. This is what Buddha said. Therefore, you must make yourself happy. Right? How to make yourself happy? Loving kindness is a mean to make yourself happy. Then after that, tomorrow we shift. We shift to mindfulness of breathing. And sometimes when you practice mindfulness of breathing, a lot of hindrances. Hindrances may arise that you cannot concentrate on the breath at all. Then what to do? Go back to loving kindness meditation. At least you have something to fall back. Then loving kindness also helps development of concentration, both insight, the way I teach, both for concentration and for insight. So when you cannot concentrate on the breath, instead of carry away by all the hindrances, then we fall back to loving kindness meditation, which is also very helpful for your concentration, for your insight, and make you happy again. Then when you become happy again, come back to the breath. This is the reason for first day, I want you to try loving kindness meditation. Okay? So walking also same. When you walk, then you can keep your attention on the body. May the four elements be well and happy. Scan the body while walking. You don't have to care about your footstep. So while you are walking, keep on scanning the body. May the four elements in the body be well and happy, be healthy. And may the mind element be happy, peaceful, contented, or anything, any words you want to use. So walking also loving kindness meditation, sitting also practicing loving kindness meditation for today. Okay. Then another one I want you to learn is during eating. Because in the retreat, there's nothing to cling to, nothing to attach to. The only thing you attach is food. It's food. So in order to discard the attachment to the food, I want you to be mindful of your eating. How to be mindful? Again, we will practice four elements meditation during eating process. So let me explain to you first what is this four elements. First, earth element. Earth element has characteristic of hardness, very hard. So when you chew the food, sometimes you feel the roughness, hardness of the food, right? If you're mindful enough. If you're not mindful, you just swallow. I don't know what it feels. So you chew, then when you see the teeth, both teeth bite each other, you feel the hardness. You bite the teeth. Please bite your teeth. Can you feel the hardness? This is called earth element. So when you chew the food, sometimes you feel the roughness. Roughness is also earth element. Sometimes you feel the hardness roughness, softness of the foot, smoothness, also earth element. In fact, six characteristics. Hardness, roughness, heaviness. Then softness, smoothness, and lightness. So whatever you feel during your eating process, if you feel one of these six, then you mentally contemplate earth element, earth element. Then when you chew, your jaw, your teeth is moving, up and down, up and down. What's this element? Wind element. Whatever has movement is wind element. So when you chewing, then you contemplate wind element, wind element. And while keep on chewing, the saliva will start to flow. You will see more and more saliva come out. If you eat mindfully. If you don't eat mindfully, you don't even know. So you start to see the saliva start to flow. This flowing is water element. So mentally you know water element, water element. Then sometimes you taste the food, you feel hot. The food is just still warm. Then you feel the warm. This fire element, fire element. Sometimes you drink the milk cold. Then cold is also fire element, relatively. So you contemplate fire element, fire element. So four elements during eating. After some time, you will tell yourself, it's so tiresome to eat. It's so tiresome to eat. Then you lose the attachment for the food, which is very good for you. Yesterday I say 8 liters is one of the important point for success. When I instruct my student to eat in this way, then he told me, sister, now eating become very tiring for me. I do not enjoy anymore. But it's also very good for me. I can lose weight. So those overweight, try this method. Good for your body, good for losing weight, and good for your insight, meditation. So try. I will ask you during interview, see how you observe while eating. Okay. If you read Buddha's Sutta, Buddha emphasized a lot, moderate in eating. Last time, I don't understand why it's so important, you know? Why moderate in eating is so important for our spiritual practice, because I have very less attachment to the food. So I don't see how it affects me. But when I keep on interview people say they have great attachment to the food, keep on eating, you know, to fit the craving, to fit the attachment, not to sustain the body. And then I start to understand why Buddha keep on emphasize this point. Be contented with what you have, with little food, and eat moderate in eating, and one meal a day. Because it's very conducive to arousing of energy. When you have full stomach, what you want to do next is go to bed and sleep. You don't have the energy to strive when your stomach is full. But when you are hungry, since you cannot sleep, then why not I meditate? Then you can strive harder. Therefore, please try four elements meditation during eating. Then you will eat less. That's good for your practice. Good for your insight also. Okay, the last one I want to talk is walking meditation. Walking meditation. In Anguttara Nikaya, the book of five, Buddha said, there are five benefits of walking meditation. Number one, it is suitable for journey. This may not be applicable for lay person, because you don't have to go journey on foot. But during Buddha's time, for lay person, you go for journey by aeroplane, by your cars. But during Buddha's time, no. There's no aeroplane, no car, they cannot drive the car. So they set up the journey on foot. They want to, they say they heard, oh, Buddha was there. So they want to go and see Buddha. Then they must have fit physical body to set up the journey in order to go and see Buddha. Or when they see those good monk, virtuous monk, good meditate, good monk, then they want to go and see the monk, see the teacher, to look for a good teacher. They have to set up a journey, long, long journey. So the walking meditation is very good for setting up the journey, for the journey, traveling, but not applicable for you. The second one, walking meditation is suitable for striving, which is very good for you. Walking meditation is suitable for striving. Why? Yesterday I mentioned already, Ananda, Venerable Ananda, walked all night. After that, when he rest, he became, when he tried to relax a little bit, he became Arahant. Because he built up a lot of stamina, a lot of good concentration inside during walking meditation. And there was a monk called Longpo Niam, Ajahn Chah's disciple, Longpo Niam. In his biography, he said that one night he walked the whole night without rest. I assume maybe 6 hours, 7 hours. He walked night without rest. After whole night walking, he feel a bit tired. So then he stopped, go to his kuti and start meditating. He thought, usually he was meditate only 1 hour until 11 or 10 o'clock, then he will sleep. But at night, at that day, because he had been walking throughout the night for so many hours without rest at all. Then he sat down meditating, and he sat 8 hours. If he didn't walk 8 hours during night, he cannot sit 8 hours. So he sat 8 hours without even moving his body. And gradually his mind go into very good state. Then he say, it's completely peace, cool, and no thoughts at all, no proliferation of the mind. His whole body and mind completely cool, and there's transformation in his mind after that night, after that long, long sitting, long, long walking and a long, long sitting for 8 hours. Then he said there's a transformation in his mind, and this experience lasts until now, for years, not only one night, for years. Therefore, Buddha said, walking meditation is suitable for striving. This is the second benefit. So don't underestimate walking meditation. Okay. The third benefit is walking meditation makes you healthy. Because you cannot sit all the time, then you walk, it balance. The posture becomes balanced, then you also become healthy. It's a way of exercise, walking meditation. When I walk 4 hours, my heart improved a lot. Now, last time, I cannot take any caffeine. After I walk 4 hours, I can take all caffeine drinks. My heart become very strong. So I can feel how walking meditation improve my health. Okay. So long walking is very good. Okay, so this is the third benefit. The fourth benefit is what you have eaten, drunk, chewed, get completely digested if you walk. This also give you, you know, what you eat is, if it's completely digested, then you get, you have the energy. You have energy and you don't have so much waste in the body. So this is the fourth benefit. And the last benefit, Buddha said, the concentration attained through walking meditation lasts long. You can see by yourself, huh? If you, let's say you do 1 hour sitting, then when you get up, most people get up unmindfully. Once they get up, they think, finished. The ring bell already finished, so they forget already. They forget to be mindful. But if you walk 1 hour, to and fro again and again 1 hour, then you come back to a meditation hall, automatically you are very mindful. And sit down also, you are very mindful. You go to toilet also very mindful. And go for eating also very mindful. Wherever you go, you become very mindful. This is because the concentration attained through walking meditation is long lasting. Long lasting. You can test for yourself. I also notice, if I walk, then I come in and sit, I become very mindful. If I don't walk, then my mindfulness lapses here and there. Not consistent. Therefore, I have one walking section, walk 1.5 hours. Try your best and keep that mindfulness with you all the time. And these are the five benefits walking meditation can give to you. Please remember. Okay, the last thing I want to say is, in order for your progress, in order for your meditation to be successful in this retreat, there's one important point, if you can follow, bear in mind, and put into practice. You are bound to make progress. That is, keep your attention, or be mindful of your object at all times. Not only during sitting, and walking. The moment you come up from the cushion, don't walk first. Stand still. Don't forget, don't lose your mindfulness. Stand still, call the mindfulness again until you are firm. Then only start to walk out. If not, if you get up so abruptly, I'm sure you lose all the mindfulness. So we are not in a rush. We are not in a rush. We are fighting with our own defilements. The only way can win over the defilement is through mindfulness and concentration. So after get up from your cushion, stand first. Don't lose that mindfulness. Then when you get back that mindfulness, then start to walk. Whenever you become unmindful, stand still. Stand still until you call up that mindfulness, then start to walk. During Buddha's time, because the most monk, they have to go pintapatha, begging the food, begging food, 1 meal a day. So sometimes they go in a long queue, maybe 10%, 20%. In Burma, you can see even 50%, one queue, long queue, they went for pintapatha. So those ancient monks, they are very diligent. Because Buddha instructed them, when you go pintapatha, when you go for arms round, practice clear comprehension of domain. Gochara sampajanya, clear comprehension of domain. What is this domain? Your meditation subject is your domain. So all the monks, when they walk for begging the food, they have to keep the meditation subject with them. This is called clear all the time. This is called clear comprehension of domain. So if sometimes, you know, by first month, sometimes the lap of mindfulness may occur, and he may think of sensual thought while working for alms food. His mind will think of sensual thought. Then the first monk have to stop. Have to stop. So when the first monk stop, the following monk have to stop as well. And the following monk all know, the first monk, his mind has been beset by defilements. If not, why he stop, right? Then after some times, when this monk overcome his sensual thought already, then he keep on walking. After some times, his mind was beset again by another thought, maybe anger or some other thoughts. Then he had to stop again. Then the following monk also had to stop. If you are the first monk, gradually you will feel shameful, right? You will feel shameful. What a shame. Everybody know my mind was beset by all the defilements. So then he will be very attentive. Now he will be very, very attentive and walk mindfully, just like carrying a hot pot on top of his head. If he's not mindful, the oil will split out and burn him. So he walked very mindfully. Then it's called clear comprehension of domain. We also can do like that if we can walk in a queue, long queue. Okay. This is the way how you can shut off all the useless thought, lustful thoughts or defilements to enter into your mind. If you practice this clear comprehension of domain, mean keep your attention with your meditation subjects at all times. If there's lack of mindfulness, stand still. Nobody chase after you. So stand still, overcome that hindrances, then again walk. If you have this type of effort, then you will be highly praised by the Buddha. Buddha say, this type of people is the one who has real effort. That is, when defilements arise in the mind, he eliminate it, abandon it, push it away until it completely disappears in the mind, then carry on. So make sure you have such type of effort to be called human being. Okay, thank you for today's talk.